Magical Mystery Tour. An old-fashioned yellow coach with Magical Mystery Tour in psychedelic letters down the side is rolling through the countryside. The Beatles are standing with their heads out of the sunroof, waving.
That's an invitation.
The coach is full of an assortment of different people. John Lennon grins while he's chatting to someone. A little boy on the coach grins. Ringo sitting in one of the seats. A pretty blonde's wearing Paul McCartney's specs and he removes them and puts them on himself, grinning. Everyone on the coach is waving.
When a man buys a ticket for a magical mystery tour, he knows what to expect. We guarantee him the trip of a lifetime, and that's just what he gets. The incredible magical mystery tour.
A big crowd waving. Paul gives the blonde girl a small posy of yellow flowers. Ringo covers his eyes at the sight of a young woman in lingerie. A man in white uniform jacket and peaked cap is driving the coach.
The magical mystery tour is coming to take you away.
The coach leans over as it hurtles round a corner. A crowd in evening dress running along. A man picks up a Union Jack flag someone's dropped and runs along with it. Ringo and an older plump lady are making their way along the pavement in a street of terraced houses.
Richard B. Starkey and his Aunt Jessica are always arguing about one thing or another.
Oh, I'm going.
Oh, go! Go on.
And what with today being Sunday and the weather looking up, you'd think they'd have given it a rest.
For goodness sake, will you stop that sitting down?
All right, what's your hurry?
But no, on and on they go.
Good morning,
said Richard. Good afternoon, sir, said the courier. They were late.
I'll have the window seat.
All right, so you'll have the window seat.
A jaunty man in white uniform and peaked cap.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome to Magical Mystery Tour. I am your courier, Jolly Jimmy Johnson. All my friends call me Jolly Jimmy, and you are all my friends. Over here is your hostess, that lovely, delightful, delectable Wendy Winters. Lovely girl, lovely. And over here, our driver for the trip, that wonderful driver, we hope. Elf! Off you go, Elf! There we go, now spread it. Fasten your safety belts, please. Away we go! Here we are, Elf. Here we are, spread it. Very comfy in the neck, isn't it? Lovely? Nice, lovely. Oh, get the popcorn out. Right hand up. There we are, spread it. And away we go.
Anyway, I'll tell you something. You ain't coming away with me anymore.
Who bought the tickets for this trip? I did.
Yeah, with my money.
I bought them.
Yeah, I gave
right?
you the money.
I'm taking you out. Yeah, you're not taking me anywhere.
I gave you the money,
remember
darling.
That? And you've done nothing but eye all the fellas on the coach since we got here.
Shut your mouth.
I don't know. Since Uncle Jack died, you've never been the same.
Well, of course I ain't, because I ain't got Uncle Jack, have I?
Well,
so
I
gotta get somebody
him.
Else, haven't I?
I remember him.
If I ain't got to get him, I've got to get somebody else, ain't I?
No, I don't know.
You should
Woman,
know. You're old range. Enough at 21.
Should do you a bit know. Of knitting, do you good.
Who for? You? Should I knit for you?
No, don't knit for me.
Wendy, the blonde, is staring at a creepy-looking man in a uniform jacket and cap.
Who is that man?
That's Mr. Blood Vessel. He's quite harmless. He comes on all the trips. He thinks he's a courier. Last trip, he thought he was the driver.
Well, you know, when I saw your first film, I really thought you had something in it.
But it was only about six then.
Wasn't it Blue Lady? Lady in Blue, something like that.
No,
you were. I'm myself, I'm 30. But I look a little younger due to a fair old sweater, which allows you.
Excuse me, sir.
Yes?
I'd like to take a photograph of the young lady. Do you mind?
I don't mind if Miss Gabriella does.
I'm not taking why you're there.
Well, Miss
Gabriella
doesn't mind. You don't. Thank
you, bye-bye. See you later, maybe.
The attractive young woman in a fur coat who Paul was sitting with steps into the aisle so the man can take her photograph.
My lucky day.
Day after day, alone on a hill, the man with the foolish grin is keeping perfectly still. But nobody wants to know him, they can see that he's just a fool. And he never gives an answer, but the fool on the hill sees the sun going down. And the eyes in his head see the world spinning round. Well on the way, head in a cloud, the man of a thousand voices talking perfectly loud. But nobody ever hears him or the sound he appears to make. He never seems to notice, but the fool on the hill sees the sun going down, and the eyes in his head see the world spinning round.
Wearing a long black coat, Paul's skipping inanely over some flat, rocky ground. He's smiling with a vacant expression. Then he's standing at the edge of a cliff.
And nobody seems to like him. They can tell what he wants to do. And he never shows his feelings. But the fool on the hill sees the sun going down. And the eyes in his head see the world spinning round.
Close-up of Paul's eyes looking to left and right, then clouds drifting across a tangerine sky. Wendy Winters is sitting at the front of the coach addressing the day trippers on the microphone.
Good morning, lads and lasses. My name is Miss Winters.
Good morning, Miss Winters, Miss Winters, Miss Winters.
Yes, well, I just wanted to say, if there's anything I can do for you,
you know what to do.
We at Magical Mysteries only have your best interest at heart, and your every wish is our command. Thank you.
John Lennon sitting next to George Harrison and nods off on his shoulder. George nudges him out of the way. A man wearing a grey suit and bowler hat standing in the aisle. Two old men are having a smoke, laughing and chatting with the woman sitting in the seat in front. Once again, John slumps onto George's shoulder and he gives him a gentle shove out of the way.
As the bus leaves the town behind and heads for the country, everything begins to change. Well, almost everything.
Ringo and his Aunt Jessica are still arguing.
and already the magic is beginning to work.
The coach rolls along a two-lane road through woodland, then through a gate and pulls to a stop. An army major sitting behind his desk when a sergeant comes in, giving him a salute. As the major, Paul McCartney, signs a paper he puts down in front of him, the sergeant mutters a funny remark in the major's ear.
It's jolly good.
Jolly Jimmy leads the coach party in. They all parade through the room, apart from the man who is taking photos on the coach, who stops to snap some pictures of the major and sergeant. The sergeant gets angry with him. He shoos the man over to join the others, who are all standing in a line.
Why?
Now the major's sitting at his desk in a field in front of a model bull. The sergeant gives some of the coach party some orders. As he's shouting and gesticulating, Jolly Jimmy leads some more of the coach party over. The ones who are there already join the others, and the whole lot walk off, leaving the sergeant shouting to himself. He pretends his bum's gored by the bull.
Jolly good, Sarge. Carry on.
The sergeant pats the model bull on the nose, then hurries off as well. Some adults and tiny children are having a tug of war. The adults, all at one end of the rope, aren't letting the children win. Some little men are wrestling each other. Nearby, a clergyman's playing blind man's buff. Some people are fixing their bicycles, and there are families playing with their little babies. As the eccentric scene plays out, two men in uniform are holding up a banner reading, "Magical Mystery Tour Marathon." Jolly Jimmy turns up and starts pointing everyone to go in a particular direction. They all start breaking off from what they're doing and wandering over. At last, they assemble in a long line and prepare for a race in what seems to be a disused airfield. A man's ready with a starting pistol.
On your marks! Get set! Go!
The ramshackle collection of men, women and children all dash down the runway in an unruly mob. Men in suits, the clergyman who is playing blind man's buff, little children, men in football kit are all dashing along. Two men in leathers and crash helmet make for a racing motorcycle and sidecar parked nearby. They both clamber onto it and go racing off. Two of the men in suits climb onto bicycles and cycle away on them. Ringo climbs into the driver's cab of the coach. Someone climbs into the boot of the coach as Ringo gets behind the wheel and drives off in it. The wrestlers are running along behind it, a well-dressed crowd leaping up and down. Ringo's driving the coach around the runway. A smart little red and white car is also speeding along. Ringo passes a black car just as someone's getting into it. The red car, black sedan, and the coach are all in a convoy. The coach hurtles around a bend. Then the black car manages to overtake it on the inside. Then the little red car overtakes the coach as well, screeching around a bend. Now more cars appear, and it turns into a track race. The cars and the coach are hurtling around the track at breakneck speed. Then, after another bout of high-speed racing, the coach turns off the track and goes bumping along the grass, where it comes to a stop. The other cars come to a stop on the track, and everyone gets out and rushes across the grass to where the coach has come to rest. As they arrive, a little stage has been set up, and a few of the coach party are celebrating, but some of the others don't look too pleased. The photographer prepares to take a picture of a group of day trippers using an old-fashioned view camera. Holding up the flash bulb, he ducks under a dark cloth at the back of the camera, while the group pose for the photo. After the flashbulb pops, he emerges from under the cloth wearing a bear's head and dances up to the smiling group. The coach is now back on the road.
If you look to your left, ladies and gentlemen, the view is not very inspiring. Ah, but if you look to your right...
A flat plain, flanked by steep cliffs in luminous green. Then flying over oceans and land in a series of changing colours. First a deep blue. Then a barren, flat landscape in eerie, luminous yellow. Dazzling sunlight temporarily blots out the view. Then flying over an ocean lit with a deep orange colour. Flying over a series of mountain peaks in a shade of psychedelic luminous pink. Then a lunar landscape in green. The sky and the landscape change from green to yellow.
Live four or five magicians who spend their days casting wonderful spells.
come with me now into that secret place where the eyes of man have never set foot.
A laboratory with bubbling potions. Three magicians all in red cloaks. Two are busy working while one, wearing a tall pointed hat, is just hanging around.
Where's the boss?
The other two aren't paying any attention to him.
Where's the boss? Shh.
One of the magicians is peering into a telescope.
Where's the boss?
It's coming.
Where's the boss?
The bus. The bus is 10 miles north on the Dewsbury Road.
Oh. It's only 10 miles away. But 10 miles should be here. 10 miles. 10 miles.
On a narrow country lane.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, quickly, look to your left. Now, there you see the ancient Roman ruins. Now, they really have been there an awful long time. They are, in fact, a little difficult to see because they're almost flattened to the ground. But then, of course,
meanwhile, back on the bus, things are happening, and life lobbles on. Indeed, the magic is so powerful that even Mr. Bloodvessel emerges from his shell. He turns to speak.
If I may take the liberty, mister,
be my guest.
Give over.
My dear lady, doesn't intuition tell you what I feel? Don't interrupt. You bring out my... I love you!
In a dreamlike sequence, Buster Bloodvessel and Aunt Jessica are walking down some stone steps together. When they reach the bottom, she beams at him and they share a hug. Then, like a couple very much in love, they're walking along an empty beach together. They're arm in arm, strolling along the sand, taking in the picturesque view. Aunt Jessica giggles as he tries to give her a hug as if she's being coy and trying to push him away. But then she relents and they share a kiss on the lips. There's a bit more fooling around between them. But then her eyes are closed as he cups her face in his hands and kisses her softly on each cheek. She smiles and rests her head on his chest. Then, as they're walking along the beach again, he makes her stop. As she stands still, he draws something in the sand around her. It's a giant heart. He goes down on one knee in front of her and they share another hug. Aunt Jessica beams at him, and he playfully strokes her cheeks and she wiggles his ears, laughing. The beach is suddenly busy with passers-by, some of whom pause to look at them. Others just go streaming past as they whisper sweet nothings to each other. Back on the coach, Buster Bloodvessel's on his feet addressing the passengers on the microphone.
I am the courier. Good morning, men and women. Welcome. I am your friendly courier. Mr. Bloodvessel is my name. Buster Bloodvessel. I am concerned for you to enjoy yourselves.
within the limits of British decency. You know what I mean, don't you? Well, don't you?
Yes, Mr. Blood Vessel!
The Beatles are performing outdoors. John's at a white piano. Back on the coach, John and George are sitting with the little girl.
Okay. Five little dicky birds sitting on your head. jolly, 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 whoops, jolly, whoops, jolly, 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 jolly. Can you do that one?
No.
Two yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
I've got a present for you. Do you know what it is?
No.
Have a guess.
No.
Go on, have a guess.
No.
Have a guess.
No.
Have a guess.
No.
Well, you're going to get it anyway. What's that? Wear him out, wear him out.
He blows up a balloon.
Do you want to blow it?
No.
Right, should we give it to George?
Yeah.
There you are, George.
Thank you.
George, 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 oops, George, oops, George, 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 George.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Our estimated time of arrival for luncheon is approximately 1:15. Thank you.
Now shut up!
Shut up, Jimmy! I've had enough of it! I can't stand it anymore! I'm getting off! Off!
Don't get historical!
The coach rolls along a two-lane road through woodland. Later, as it's making its way along, Aunt Jessica's sound asleep.
Aunt Jessie's hungry. And she's dreaming. She's dreaming about food. 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 Beautiful food. Oh, lettuce.
A series of weird images pass through her mind. She chuckles at first, but then looks upset. Then she's in a restaurant with Buster Bloodvessel sitting at the table opposite her. The waiter seems to be piling up her plate with food. Meanwhile, Buster Bloodvessel's struggling to tear a bread roll into pieces. He munches on a tiny morsel, then takes a handkerchief out of his waistcoat pocket and passes it across the table to Aunt Jessica, who seems upset. The smiling waiter is shoveling huge dollops of food in front of her while she still looks tearful and unhappy. Meanwhile, Buster Bloodvessel munches on another morsel of bread, sipping a glass of red wine contentedly. More food's ladled on top of the huge pile that's already in front of her. Once again, Buster Bloodvessel hands her his handkerchief.
All this mud! In 45 minutes, I can hardly get my breath!
It's intake, Jessie, not output.
I am already! Three times this week already!
For goodness sake, Jessie, sit down. Remember.
I don't care. This is the way he would have wanted it.
The photographer's swinging on what seems to be a lantern, taking pictures of Wendy, who's just wearing a white bra while she eats. As the smiling waiter keeps shoveling more food in front of her, Aunt Jessica gets up from her table and walks off. The waiter's undeterred and carries on. Buster Bloodvessel remains at the table, and Aunt Jessica calls across the restaurant to the waiter.
Pirandello, help me up the stairs.
Yes, lady.
The waiter helps her up some steps to an area where Jolly Jimmy's stripped to the waist, still wearing his peaked cap, and chatting to the photographer. The model Bull's standing beside him. He picks up a glass and pours himself some milk from a glass bottle. Nearby, Aunt Jessica's leaning down, chatting away to the waiter.
Hello. Hello. I'm sure you did get a free nice. But give a
But it was all a dream, and she's still asleep in her seat on the coach.
Wake up, Jessie.
A pair of hunters and hounds in a ploughed field look round as Jolly Jimmy dances along, leading the coach party past.
There's no business like show business. There's no business I know. Everything about it's so appealing. Let's go on with show.
They approach a small tent pitched in the field. One by one, they all proceed to crawl inside it. The photographer snaps away with his camera. Amongst the last to climb into the tent are Jolly Jimmy and Wendy Winters. One by one, they're all crawling out into a small hall with rows of chairs. All the day trippers take their seats facing a cinema screen at one end of the room. Jolly Jimmy steps forward. Jimmy takes the hand of the film star in the fur coat, then scoops her up in his arms. Ringo's ecstatic. Then Wendy comes round with a tray of ice creams like a film usherette. Buster Bloodvessel whispers something in Aunt Jessica's ear and she laughs heartily. George Harrison sitting cross-legged on the ground shrouded in mist. His fingers are tapping on a keyboard drawn in chalk.
Thank you.
coach party applaud enthusiastically. Jolly Jimmy gestures for everyone to get to their feet. They all do so and file out, smiling and chatting. Then they're all emerging from the tent in the field.
Well, well, well. They are a happy crowd. Come on. Come along. Back on the bus. Come on.
They all troop back onto the coach and retake their seats. The coach drives off right over the tent, flattening it.
Ooh! Wonder what the magicians are cooking up now.
Ready!
Tee up, fellas. Oh, goody. Ooh, talk about your magical mysteries. I spent half an hour looking for that sugar, I tell you. They all looked. I was half an hour looking for the sugar.
Is there one for me?
Aye, there's one over here, Richie. Oh, how are you, Bonzo? All right. Any news of the bus?
The bus? It's 10 miles north on the Dewsbury Road.
Great.
And they're having a lovely time.
They're having a lovely time!
Could you tell me what's next on the agenda?
A song.
You love you more, you want the more, you want the more.
Not you. Them! On the bus!
I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts.
Have you them all?
There they are, standing in a row.
No cooking, darling. I am back. Better back.
Come on, join in. What's the matter with you?
Now they're all swaying from side to side. Now it's dark outside as the coach is making its way along an urban street.
Ladies and gentlemen, when the coach stops, would the gentlemen please follow Mr. Johnson and the ladies stay with me?
Jolly Jimmy leads the men into a lounge bar.
Jolly evening, Mr. Jolly Jimmy!
George and John are amongst the group, who sit down at tables facing a stage. A cheesy-looking singer with sandy-coloured hair and moustache, wearing a silver jacket, takes to the stage.
That night, cutie called a cab.
Baby, don't do it. She left her east side room so drab. She went out on the town. No one will make her love a frown. Someone's gonna make you pay your fare.
A brunette slinks onto the stage with a fluffy pink scarf around her neck. The brunette's dancing seductively and starts unbuttoning her jacket. She removes it, revealing the lacy pink and black bra she's wearing underneath. She twirls her jacket around and drops it onto the stage. As the singer and the saxophone players perform, she wiggles her bum seductively. Now the young woman starts unbuttoning her skirt. She removes it, revealing a silky pink petticoat.
The traffic lights change from green to red. They try to solve, but they both wound up dead.
Now she's wearing just her bra and knickers. Then she reaches behind her back, unhooks her bra, and pulls down each of her shoulder straps. Then, with her back to the camera, she displays herself to the singer and the audience. The word "censored" obscures her breasts as she strokes the singer's cheek seductively.
Someone's gonna make you pay your
The ruched stage curtain comes down. John and George are at the front applauding enthusiastically. The Fab Four in white suits and tails.
Let's all get up and dance to a song that was a hit before your mother was born. Though she was born a long, long time, mother should know.
Your mother should know.
Sing it again. Let's all get up and dance to a song that was a hit before your mother was born. Though she was born a long, long time ago, your mother should know.
Your mother should know.
Fab Four, now in their magician outfits, run along with a huge crowd of adults and children in different costumes running along behind them.
That was a magical mystery tour. I told you. Goodbye.
Rule Britannia. Rule Britannia. Rule Britannia. Rule Britannia.